You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickard. Coming up tonight after 7, 6 states go to the polls today as primary season wraps up. Join us on the Ideas Network for special NPR coverage of the last hurrah of the race until the conventions. That's tonight after 7 here on the Ideas Network.
First, it appears that the Democrats may have their nominee. According to a count by the Associated Press, who contacted some superdelegates, Hillary Clinton had secured the support of enough of those delegates to clinch the Democratic presidential nomination when the party convenes at its July convention. The announcement came yesterday, a day before this last round of state primary elections.
Bernie Sanders and his campaign are calling the AP's declaration a rush to judgment and say that they shouldn't be counting the votes of superdelegates before they actually vote at the convention this summer. Sanders supporters also say a win in California's primary today could give him a big boost going forward.
Lily Gorin is back with us now. She's professor of politics and global studies at Carroll University. Lily, thanks for joining us again.
My pleasure. Happy to be on.
Well, we saw this from the AP yesterday saying Hillary Clinton had enough pledged delegates and superdelegates who said they would vote for her to reach the magic number she needed. What was your first thought when you heard that news yesterday, Lily?
I was a little befuddled because I was waiting for the primaries today.
And I've seen reporting that Hillary Clinton's campaign wasn't necessarily interested in seeing that yesterday. They were hoping to have the victory party tonight.
Yeah, I think that they were, and they were hoping to have it be a kind of symbolic party as well, as she will become the first female nominee from a major party. And so the AP sort of announcement yesterday was really kind of like, I was sitting at home and my husband said, "What happened?" And I said, "I guess they counted some superdelegates and they got to a total and then they announced it."
A little anticlimactic, like Citizen Kane, they mention what Rosebud is, 10 minutes in or something like that.
Yeah.
So it's a weird anticlimactic moment in what's been an eventful campaign so far, but it's the campaigning isn't really over, and it won't be even after tonight's voting, I wouldn't guess. What do you think about the Sanders-Clinton race?
No, I mean, I don't think that everything is over, certainly, for the Democratic nomination, but I do think that after the voting tonight, you'll have more clarity with regard to pledged delegate totals. The AP canvas was a canvas of the superdelegates, and, they sort of called a bunch of them up who maybe they hadn't decided yet, and a number of them said, yeah, I'm going to support Hillary Clinton, but that still isn't necessarily the number of pledged delegates on either Sanders' side or Clinton's side. And so tonight you'll have, a large chunk of folks who delegates from California, also New Jersey, and smaller groups coming out of South and North Dakota, and I think also Montana.
And we've heard the reaction from Bernie Sanders himself, his campaign, his supporters, saying, hey, AP, too soon. This is a rush to judgment. You can't count superdelegates until they actually make their votes at the convention. They could switch at any time. Do you think there's something to be said for that, the AP, other media organizations saying Hillary Clinton is now the presumptive nominee based on this count? Do you think that's wrong to do?
Well, I mean, again, the superdelegates can certainly change their minds. They have that opportunity to do that, and they can do that up until the convention. But a lot of times, as the races have unfolded, the superdelegates have, sort of said, well, I finally made up my mind given the preponderance of the evidence this way or that way. And that's also what happened in 2008 with regard to superdelegates who came ultimately to support Barack Obama. As we got to the end of the primary season, and so it's the prerogative of the superdelegate. They certainly can change their mind, but you also are talking about a lot of votes that have already been counted from the previous states that have voted in caucuses and primaries and so forth.
And this would be a case where for a change to happen, superdelegates would have to go against the overall pledged delegate count. And against the overall population that's voted for one candidate or another. So this would be a tall order, it sounds like, to convince your average Democratic superdelegate to change from Clinton to Sanders.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely true because there's, you've had quite a long primary battle at this point, again, like 2008, but you've also have a substantial difference in the number, in the numeric totals of how many people have voted for Hillary Clinton and how many people have voted for Bernie Sanders. and there's about a 3 million vote difference there. And that's fairly substantial. And so for superdelegates to, first of all, having come out and said, oh, I'm going to support Hillary Clinton, and then changing when it gets to the Democratic convention, they are, in fact, potentially defying the will of the voters in a lot of states and the number of pledged delegates that have come out of all of those contests.
Now, people are voting today, New Jersey, California, a couple of the biggest, four others. Along with that, the math, it doesn't look good for Bernie Sanders. Even if he wins some of these states, he probably won't win the overall thing. But for Hillary Clinton, does it look bad if she's having close elections, even losing states, kind of backing into the nomination?
Well, I think that the comparison to 2008 may be a point to pay attention to, in that the race in 2008 was actually a lot closer in terms of both the pledged delegates and the actual vote counts. There was a difference of a couple thousand votes between Clinton and Obama, actually Clinton having about 1,000 or 2,000 more votes. But the way that the votes were and where they were in terms of the delegate, the pledged delegate numbers, Obama had more pledged delegates. And so you got to the sort of end of the primary season and you had a closer race than the one that we have right now. So I'm not necessarily sure it's totally accurate to say that she's kind of backed into the nomination this time around. But, you know, she's had strong success in a number of states. She's lost to Sanders in a number of states. And of course, you're right, California is a big state, 475 or so pledged delegates in California, obviously a very diverse state, the largest populous state in the country. It's an important state and one that it would be beneficial to her campaign as she moves into the sort of broad general election to have said, you know, to be able to say strategically, I also carried California. I don't know what's going to happen at the end of the voting. It looks in California from the polls that I've seen fairly close.
Talking to political science professor Lily Gorin from Carroll University, looking at the presidential race, the news out from the AP, according to their count, Hillary Clinton has the combined total of pledged delegates and superdelegates who have committed to her to be the presumptive nominee. And in a moment like that, Lily, if you're the opponents, the Republicans, and you now know for sure the other candidate is who it's going to be, what you'd probably want to do is talk about that other candidate, ramp up the attacks. Instead, Republicans are talking about what Donald Trump said about a judge in this Trump University case and his Mexican heritage. Republicans probably not happy at this moment, I would think.
Well, strategically, it's a more complicated spot in which to find yourself as you're potentially turning to face the likely nominee in the other party. And so you're moving from the primaries and the caucuses to the general election. And so it's a time for each side, you know, the Republicans and the Democrats. The Democrats have to worry about, Clinton has to worry about Sanders and Sanders supporters and having a unified party behind her as she moves into the general election. And Trump is still in this kind of negotiation in a lot of ways where, you know, people have come out and said that they are going to vote for him, but then they're also criticizing a lot of the things that he's saying in his speeches and off the cuff and in news conferences and so forth. And it's a complicated place, and it also doesn't necessarily strengthen the candidate himself.
And there was talk that Donald Trump would pivot from his pugnacious primary persona to being a more presidential candidate. Accidental alliteration there. I wasn't trying. But it seems clear that he's not doing it yet.
He's gone back and forth, right? And we've seen him, you know, sort of give more refined speeches and sort of you know, sort of coherent speeches, but then you have these kind of, as you say, sort of pugilistic attacks on the press with regard to investigations into not only Trump University, but also the donations to the veterans groups. And then he's made attacks on the press, and he's been attacking this judge now for 2 weeks. This has been a story now for over 2 weeks. And it's also forcing a lot of people who are running for election on the Republican side of the ballot ballot to have to comment. The media keeps asking people like Paul Ryan and Mitch McConnell to comment on what Trump is saying. And so even if they're not running themselves, McConnell is not running himself as for his Senate seat, but other people are, and they keep having to answer questions about what Trump is saying. And so it doesn't necessarily help Trump's campaign, and it's certainly not helping campaigns like John McCain running for his Senate seat, or Kay Oda in New Hampshire running for her Senate seat, and Paul Ryan is running for his House seat. I don't expect he'll have much of a battle for it, but he has to comment as well.
We're talking right now with political scientist Lily Gorin from Cal University. The Associated Press says Hillary Clinton now has enough delegates to secure her party's nomination. We're looking at what that means for her, Bernie Sanders, the Democratic Party, and the general election.
And you can join in at 800-642-1234. What do you make of the AP's announcement that Clinton is now the presumptive nominee? If you're a Bernie Sanders supporter, what do you think about all this? Should he drop out of the race or continue making a push all the way to the convention? And can the party unite around Clinton one way or the other? Call us at 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page.
We'll continue the conversation, maybe hear from you here on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. We're continuing our conversation with political scientist Lily Gorin. The Associated Press says Hillary Clinton now has enough delegates to secure her party's nomination. And we're looking at what that means for her, for Bernie Sanders, and the Democratic Party.
What do you think about Clinton as the party's presumptive nominee? How do you see the Democratic Party moving forward after a sometimes messy primary battle that's not over yet? What role should Bernie Sanders play going forward? What are you watching for in the general election in the months between now and then? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page. Lily, before we go to the callers, Hillary Clinton, there was some talk about how she would take on a head-to-head race with Donald Trump. Would she be able to go on the attack, or would they want kind of a bulldog vice presidential candidate? She did a foreign policy speech that was a lot more about Donald Trump's foreign policy statements than her own policy. What did you make of that?
I mean, I think there's now a move, and she's been sort of doing this for a little while, working on the assumption that she was going to be the nominee, to take on Donald Trump and to move in the direction of, you know, sort of focusing attention on the campaign against Trump. And so, you know, when you get in a general election, you have two candidates. And so part of it is you are advocating to voters to vote for you, but part of it is you're advocating to voters to vote against the other candidate. And I think that in this context, Hillary Clinton has been sort of trying to refine the attacks on Trump to explain to the American people in her from her position why they should be voting against Trump and thus voting for her.
Go to our callers now at 800-642-1234 with Ben on the line in Milwaukee. Ben, hi.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good. What do you think?
Well, I think it's just a little bit frustrating that the Associated Press is actually calling the election already, considering that they're taking into account the superdelegate count, which isn't being voted for until July. And this has been a consistent issue with myself and I think many voters, that the Associated Press is continually associating the superdelegate count with who is the presumptive nominee and who could become the Democratic nominee for the presidential race.
So, Ben, I want to ask the pledged delegate count. Hillary Clinton has a big lead there. And then you throw in the superdelegates. That's what puts her over the top, according to the AP. What do you think would happen that many superdelegates would switch to be enough to overcome that pledged delegate lead that Hillary Clinton has? What would it take, do you think?
Well, I mean, she does have the pledged delegate count lead, which, you know, is something to pay attention to. However, tomorrow is a big day. We have California coming up, and today is a big day with California's results coming in. I just feel like it needs to be waited for. It would make her look like a stronger candidate if the pledged delegate lead was to stay consistent and if it was to stay true to what she has for the lead right now.
Ben, thanks a lot for that call. And that's an interesting point, Lily, and this is something that has been an issue on election nights, you know, the big election nights in the past. don't start sharing results while people are still at the polls. Is this something that maybe the AP saying this could affect voting today? People might say, oh, I'm a Bernie Sanders supporter, but it looks like we lost. I give up. Or I'm a Hillary Clinton supporter. We've already won. I'm not going to bother.
Yeah. And I think that's the biggest problem with what the AP did and the timing of it. Right. And both the Clinton and the Sanders campaigns came out last night and then again this morning and encouraged their voters in California and New Jersey and South Dakota to make sure they got to the polls today, even though the AP had made this conclusive declaration. And this, you know, it's a little bit different than when, you know, polls close across the country in different time zones. And we've had, you know, the announcement of a winner, say, of a presidential race before the polls close in California, which is something that happened in the 1980s. And so there have been some rules associated with that. This is a slightly different situation, but it certainly presses on the same issues that you're going to deter people from voting if you tell them that their vote essentially doesn't count.
Right. There was a similar call for the Republicans, but I think by the time it was made, there was only one candidate left. There was a notice that, some people in North Dakota committed to Trump. Now he's got the number. But there wasn't anybody left to vote for at that point.
Yeah, because Cruz had left the race.
Mm. So, Ben, thanks a lot for the call. We'll go next to Jim on the line in Fontana. Jim, hi.
Hi. Yeah, I just wanted to respond to your question, which is I think Bernie should stay in all the way. I think he should be solidify his position as the leader of the Progressive Party, both to move the platform, but more importantly, help Hillary get elected and then, you know, be a force in influencing her. We've seen, you know, a progressive candidate in Obama get into the White House and then, you know, try to placate everyone and push this way and that way. If we can get Hillary in, you know, I think she can learn from her mistakes in the past. I think she's obviously smart, obviously capable. If we have a strong progressive movement reminding her what this country needs, and we finally have a leader in that for that movement in Bernie, I think it'll be fine. I'm not worried.
Jim, thanks a lot for that call. Interesting perspective there, Lily. Bernie Sanders, even if he no longer has a realistic shot to become the presidential nominee, has clearly outperformed what anybody, I think including Bernie Sanders, thought at the outset. Is there a message here that Hillary Clinton and her supporters should be learning and including Bernie Sanders in spreading that message?
Well, I mean, I think that's a lot of what the dialogue has been in the last couple of months is the fact that the Sanders campaign has influenced the discussion and has influenced and highlighted a lot of policy areas that a lot of Democrats, either Clinton supporters or Sanders supporters, are in favor of in terms of raising the minimum wage and income inequality, and has brought those issues to the forefront. And the question then becomes, you know, sort of moving, if you're going to elect Hillary Clinton president or a Democrat president, then there has to be a little bit of unifying of the party, both from the Sanders camp and from the Clinton camp. And again, you saw this a lot in 2008 when there was a lot of dissatisfaction among Clinton supporters, the famous PUMA movement, Party Unity, My Blank Blank. And there was a press between, you know, Clinton and Obama to come together, to lead the party together, and to move forward as, you know, a sort of unified Democratic Party. And that's, to some degree, if there's going to be a successful election of a Democrat, that's probably what some of the outcome needs to be.
Jim, thanks for that call at 800-642-1234. Talking to Lily Gorin from Carroll University, looking at the latest in the presidential race, the call from the AP that Hillary Clinton is the presumptive nominee based on pledged plus superdelegates. Lily, once she is the acknowledged presumptive nominee, I think there's some expectation that President Obama will be campaigning for her maybe more actively. There's always a question, how much do you want the previous president out there? Bill Clinton was left a little behind for Al Gore there. Would President Obama on the campaign trail actively be a benefit for Hillary Clinton?
I think given the current state of Obama's poll numbers, that he is an asset at this point, particularly to Democratic crowds, and particularly in the African-American community, and in a variety of communities that are Democratic leaning or supporters, that he does provide a kind of getting out the base, energizing the party. And so I think in a way that's quite distinct from Bill Clinton's situation at the end of his presidency, when he was coming off of an impeachment and a sex scandal that the Gore campaign sort of wanted to distance themselves from, that at this point his numbers are above 50%, and that's an asset to sort of encouraging Democrats in the fall.
Speaking of Bill Clinton, he's been a mixed blessing sometimes, Hillary Clinton.
Yeah.
This election, the last time around when she was running against Barack Obama. Is he front and center, or will he be?
I don't run strategy for the Clinton campaign, so I don't know. And Bill Clinton is a complicated sort of symbol within the Democratic Party. He, there are a lot of people who love Bill Clinton. There are a lot of people who detest Bill Clinton. And so he has, again, his strengths and weaknesses. And he will probably be used strategically. I think that there will be moves to sort of engage him in particular communities, in particular states, where his numbers and a lot of people are really fond of him, and probably less so in other areas.
Lily, thanks as always for joining us.
My pleasure. Thanks.
We've been talking to Lily Gorin. She's a professor of politics and global studies at Carroll University. She was with us to talk about Hillary Clinton's campaign and Clinton now having enough delegates to become her party's presumptive nominee, according to a count by the Associated Press. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. You're listening to Central Time on Wisconsin Public Radio.